Hello, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer McKee. I'm so excited to have you join me each week as we explore a variety of topics around life in the greater Palm Springs area. From real estate market updates to lifestyle topics, interesting people, food and entertainment, we keep it authentic and fun. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Jennifer McKee Realtor on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to keep up to date on everything happening in the Coachella Valley. Also, be sure to go to Apple Podcasts and like and leave a review for this show. I really appreciate it. And now, without further ado, let's go to this week's show. Hey, and welcome to the show. So we have some great conversations and interviews for you today. Ryan interviewed John Ramont. He is a vice president at College of the Desert, and he had a great conversation with John about, tell us what it was about, Ryan.
Well, life right now with the quarantine and handling 17,000 students and 500 teachers in a matter of a few hours, you know, a few days, I guess, and trying to handle the transition from just regular school to online school and all of that. And now, you know, obviously they're trying to deal with the summer and the fall
and all their
so
plans.
It has a huge, huge impact on, you know, life in the Valley because there's so many people connected to that school.
Well, so true. And I've actually been wondering what they plan on doing, and all schools for that matter, especially as we have kids, what are public schools going to do in the fall? What are colleges going to do? And I think it's probably going to look different in different parts of the country, really. Speaking of public schools, I know that this time of year we have a lot of seniors graduating, and that looks so different than what they have dreamt for it to be their whole school career. So we are going to interview a local high school senior at La Quinta High School on what he's going through. And he's a good representation of what all the seniors are going through right now. Because what this show is all about is, it's in the title, the Real Life Show. It's about real life in the Coachella Valley. And that's what life is for a lot of people right now here, not only here, but across the country with seniors graduating and it just looking so different. And he's actually a listener and fan of the Real Life Show podcast. So I'm so happy to have him today. Hey, Logan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jen.
Yeah. So tell me all about life as a senior during a global pandemic.
Wow. Where do I even start? Like, it's just, we were all so excited to have these senior activities like grad night, graduation, all this stuff coming up, and then just to have it ripped away overnight like that, like within the blink of an eye, is just insane. My mom hasn't been doing too great with it, but.
Oh, yeah. I actually never thought about it from a parent perspective, thinking how they've gone through the journey of your whole public education and they don't get to celebrate either.
Yeah, I know. My mom's been like, there's two things you look, as a parent, you look forward to the most, and it's your kid's graduation and your kid's wedding, and the fact that one of those gets taken away from her is horrible for her.
Yes, totally.
And I mean, they're doing their best to try to make it as fun as possible, I guess, but I don't know. I just, the fact that, like, to even think about that I'm not going to be walking on the stage, shaking my principal's hand and getting my diploma and looking at the rest of the school is just horrible, you know?
And really, you're not getting a goodbye to all your classmates either, because you'll be scattered across the country at some point.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst part, is like not even being able to say goodbye.
So what is the school doing? Are they doing anything?
As of right now, the only thing they have done is given us refunds for our senior packages.
Well, hey, that's better than nothing, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't even know if we're getting a yearbook, and I just won best laugh. Like, I want to see that in the yearbook, you know?
Well, okay, now I want to hear your laugh, Logan.
You got to make me laugh first.
I'm going to have to say something funny. I'm leaving that to Ryan, my co-host. You're going to have to think of something funny to make Logan laugh. But
If you talk about the Seahawks, I'll probably start laughing.
Burn. That hurts.
I'm just kidding.
You're kicked off the podcast. Well, maybe I'll let you stay on depending on who's your team. Who do you root for?
Los Angeles Chargers. Duh.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. It could have been like the Broncos or the Patriots or something like that. So you're still good.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not the 49ers, right?
That's the one I was trying to think of too. The 49ers, that's like the ultimate, enemy of the Seahawks. But so the school, I just assumed that the school would at least try to do a big Zoom graduation or have thought through
some sort of website. It's not through Zoom, but what we had to do was we had to fill out who we are, what school we went to, and then we had to write a 150 character message, which is basically nothing. I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much to say in such little amount of words.
And so they post that most message online?
So no, it's gonna be like a Zoom, like a live stream almost. And then they'll have slides up for each student. It'll be a picture of the student and then it'll have their message.
Okay, gotcha. So what is your family planning to do to celebrate, or have you already celebrated?
We haven't celebrated yet right now. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know if they're planning something secretly, but I know that Shadow Rock Church is planning on having a drive-through graduation for me, and I'm super excited about that. I mean, I haven't seen anybody from church in so long. I just can't wait to see everybody.
Very cool. Yeah, Logan's part of for all you listeners out there, Shadow Rock Church, and they have a youth group and lots of kids in it, and my kids are in it. And that's how I know Logan, because I have a lot of kids, teenagers at my house. Typically on a normal Friday night, my house is packed with
Yeah, I know. I missed that too.
I know. So I'll be driving by to celebrate you in that caravan. Great. So that'll be fun. What are your plans after graduation?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So right now I'm planning on going to Cal State San Bernardino, the Palm Desert campus, to avoid paying for dorms, because for my FAFSA, I got my tuition completely paid for any Cal State I want to go to, and I got my books all paid for. I got like $8,000-$9,000 from FAFSA, so like I don't even have to worry about any of that. I got accepted into my dream school, which was Cal State San Marcos, and I would have had tuition and everything paid for, but they had just built brand new dorms and a brand new cafeteria, and it was going to cost me $13,000 just to live there.
Wow.
And I could not afford that. So, and they only force you to live in the dorms for first year students. So me and my counselor had a talk, and she said, well, if you stay local for a year and transfer, you can avoid all that. So in a way, we're kind of finessing the system.
That's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
So has the school planned on opening in the fall, or have they been in contact with?
So what I, the colleges?
Yeah, the college that you're going to go to.
So what I read online is that they're doing the whole first semester is going to be online.
Wow. So what does that feel like? I mean, is that weird to think about your
surreal
first semester in college? You're not even going to have that college class experience.
It's surreal. Like there's never once did I ever think about, yeah, my first college is going to be my first year of college is going to be online because of that pandemic. Like it just catches you off guard.
The whole world. It feels like we're living in a movie.
It really does, because it's just weird that everywhere you have to go now, you have to wear a mask, and you see all these people protesting. It really does feel like you're in a movie. And I think we're waiting on
Will Smith or somebody to come in. And
where's Morgan Freeman?
He's narrating something somewhere.
I know.
Anyway, well, Logan, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your perspective on the local or high school seniors and how you're going to go through this whole season of graduation. And I can't wait to drive by for your drive-by graduation. That'll be the
And I can't wait to see
that.
You holding up your phone.
Logan likes to make fun of me because I'm always, as a realtor, you got to be relevant on social media. So I'm always doing stories and pictures, and you're the best at giving me lots of grief about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're the best at being proactive on social media for sure.
I appreciate that.
No one does it like Jen. That should be a hashtag. No one does it like Jen.
Yeah, it should. And Logan, actually, one day we'll put this on video for the world to see, but he does an amazing Jennifer McKee impression. But you have to see it to believe it.
It's a great day to be a man, Jennifer McKee. It's a great day.
It is. That should be a hashtag too, Logan.
Yes, it does. I'm going to go post that on my Instagram right now.
Go do that right now. Go do your tweets and your TikToks and whatever it is you teenagers do. All right. Well, thanks so much again. I'll see you at the drive-by.
Okay. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was so great talking to Logan. Logan Ibarra, local high school senior, La Quinta High School. He's a great guy. He's just so fun. I miss having those teenagers in our house all the time.
Yeah, it was definitely, it's chaos on Friday nights when they're here.
And lots of food and pizza and random toilet paper. They would have me drive them and go toilet paper people's houses and be crazy teenagers. But at least they had a chaperone. Anyway.
You can't do that now because it's like throwing gold dollar bills everywhere if you're toilet paper in a house, because that stuff's worth a fortune.
It really is. How much have we thrown away? Because we have three teenagers living in our house, so our house has been targeted multiple times. How much did we throw away? A lot. Anyway, we have a great conversation. Ryan got to interview local, I mentioned earlier, John Ramont. He's a vice president at College of the Desert. So I'm interested to hear what John has to say.
John, tell me a little bit about the process you guys have been on since the beginning of the quarantine with the governor's mandates coming down. How has the college responded and where are you at now?
Well, you know, just I think everybody kind of got caught off guard by this whole thing. We're at a point where when the order came down, we literally had to bug out in a couple of days. And in doing so, we had to move all of our live classes online. And within a matter of a week and a half, we were able to train over 500 instructors on how to do online classes. And we got everything moved over. So we finished our spring online, or finishing. This is the last week of classes. Next week is finals for everybody. And we've only had about 10 sections that are going to have to go a little bit long to make sure that they make all the time. But other than that, you know, that was the big migration moving over. And because of the uncertainty with the virus and how long the prolonged lockdown is going for, we have made the decision, a very difficult decision, to continue all of our classes for summer online, and as well as the fall is completely online. However, we are open. We're open for registration. We'll be continuing to register until school starts. And actually, our summer registrations are up right now from what they were last year. So we're seeing a lot of students who need some general ed things over the summer. And so we're seeing an uptick in our students.
How many kids are people, because you have adults as well, enrolled in all the programs through the college?
Our unduplicated headcount, it's called, the number of unique individuals with us, is about 17,000 students now.
Wow. So you've got 17,000 people, and like you said, 500 teachers, that within a week or so, you're having to get everybody into this online learning program, completely change the way that they're are used to doing their education and all of that process. I've read in other schools, you know, some of the teachers have struggled with, you know, because they're real strong believers in, you know, face-to-face or the lecture format and all that. I mean, have you gotten pushback, or have you had challenges with trying to get some of the teachers to adapt to this new online learning? Has it been easier for some than others?
Yeah, very clearly, because, you know, just like anything else, not all instructors, not all of their IT skills are equal. And some are very much more face-to-face. And as you can imagine, things like speech teachers and things like that are struggling. Plus, we have a lot of classes that are hands-on, all of our career technical education things like heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, auto mechanics, nursing, a lot of those things. And So we're having to adapt very quickly. So it's just been amazing the way the faculty and staff have pulled together. And they very quickly, in order to accommodate things, started filming labs without students and then posting those in our online shell, course shells that we're, where we're holding the courses. And I can't remember what the number is, but we've had dozens of lab videos recorded. We have actually sent out lab kits to students so that they could do experiments for like chemistry at home. Our nursing students, they're required to have so many hours of live clinical hours that where they work with patients directly. And we've gotten a lot of waivers from various authorities like the chancellor's office in order to be able to migrate all this stuff in an emergency. The nursing boards have allowed us to reduce the amount of face-to-face we have, but they haven't eliminated it. But we've been able to fulfill that by nursing students being able to work a phone bank and take people's calls about the virus and things like that. And so we've still been able to accommodate all those various things. So it's been a Herculean effort, and it's just been absolutely amazing. And from what I understand and what I've heard from other colleges around, we probably did a better job than 99% of the colleges out there, and our students are right on track and we're still moving ahead.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, in my limited reading that I've done on it with, you know, articles that have come through on my phone and things that I've just kind of kept up to date on the news, it sounds like a lot of students that have either maybe graduated or that were in that process of kind of transition have considered maybe taking a gap year. They're not going to go off to college right now. They're going to wait until all this kind of dies down. But it sounds like if your enrollment through the online offerings and stuff have kind of increased, somehow you guys are either attracting students in a different way. Maybe people are, have you gotten any sense from these students that are enrolling as to kind of the why of why now that they seem to be getting involved?
There's a number of factors. And, you know, we're in an unprecedented time. And so it's hard to speculate and to project because the behaviors, just like everything else, are not anything we've ever seen before. So what happens normally when the economy goes down and people start losing jobs, they decide that that's the time to upgrade their job skills. And so demand for community college courses goes up. So we have this inverse relationship with the economy. And likewise, when the economy gets good and people are able to get jobs, they tend to kind of go away from school a little bit. So right now with the economy basically coming to a screeching halt and the unemployment shooting up, I think there's some people that are looking to upgrade their job skills. The other phenomenon that we're seeing is that a lot of students, and it's, you know, graduating seniors who were accepted at four-year universities, and now they're getting notified that it's going to be online. And a lot of students are saying, gee, if I have to stay home and not have the traditional college experience with the dorm rooms and the independence and all of that sort of thing, and we're just going to be doing online, I don't know why I should be paying the money for that. And so what we're seeing a number of students basically canceling their enrollments at four-year universities, particularly the expensive private universities, and they're signing up with us. And also, we're also seeing an influx of university students who need some of their lower division basic education things coming to us for the summer classes. So I think we're going to have a lot of demand. The big challenge coming up is going to be the state budget, because our finances are tied very much to the state budget. And the governor is going to be releasing what he calls his May revise today, in which they look at what the current revenues are doing and look at what we're going to be able to expect for next year. And we're hearing warnings that we're going to be faced with cuts entirely unprecedented, in maybe 2 to 3 times more than the cuts that we saw during the Great Recession, which was so difficult. But we're hearing cuts of 20 to 30% even. So when, you know, in light of that, it's going to be a very challenging time, but our mission hasn't changed at all. You know, we're here to serve the community, and we're going to do the best we can with whatever resources we do have going into this time.
With the budget, but you know, the proposed budget cuts that are coming, with all of the other uncertainty that's happening, you're seeing an increase in the online enrollment. you guys have, like every school would, a lot of overhead with buildings and facilities and security and all of that stuff. I mean, is it still too early, or have you started having conversations with the leadership and the boards and all these different groups to say, like, you know, is there a way for us to continue this online kind of innovation and maybe move away from physical resources? Or are you trying to find a balance between the two? Where are you guys at in that conversation?
Well, you know, for us, student, staff and faculty safety and health and well-being is our number one priority, which is why we were one of the earlier colleges to make the decision to go online in fall, simply because we're watching what the health experts are telling us and we're doing that. So obviously with our facility shut down, we're not cleaning them every night. We don't, you know, our grounds, if, you know, probably if you've driven past the campus, it looks a little rough around the edges. We've cut back staff way back on that while they're still continuing to get paid at this time. But I think we're going to have to face the reality of whatever budget scenario we have. So we've had a lot of preliminary conversations about making our priorities clear, and then we'll be building our programs and schedules based on those priorities. The other thing about this is we still believe that someday this will be over, and someday there will be a return to whatever normal it is. It may be different than it was before, and it's going to be something of a new normal. But in the meantime, we've still been in the middle of planning facilities expansions. For example, in Indio, we're in plan review from the state right now for a three-story building going next to the existing building that will more than double the size of that campus. And it's supposed to come online in the next 2 to 3 years. And then also our Palm Springs campus that we bought the old mall property and tore down the mall. You know, our plans for building out that property are still moving forward, although schedules may change and, you know, that we're going to have to be flexible on things. But a lot of those things aren't changing. What is changing, though, is as we're planning, we're beginning to watch the science, and we want to make sure that we're incorporating all of the latest technologies and innovations, whether it comes to airflow or the ability to create additional space. And you know, we're just going to have to respond, because it very much feels like we're having to invent a wheel from scratch on all of this stuff.
Well, you guys have just had a massive challenge in trying to adapt. I mean, not only to the coronavirus and all of the stuff that's happening presently, but obviously shifts in the market and demands from employers and with the, you know, students that are enrolling, and everything for colleges and universities has been, I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the last 10, 15 years or so, especially with the advent of the internet and all that. I mean, it's the changes in expectations of people for what a degree is supposed to do. You've had the Great Recession, where people have a degree and then they can't find a job, and there's all that shifting. You guys with the College of the Desert have had such cool programs here. The things that you've offered for graduating seniors locally, it's really made, I think, the community college program really strong and incentivizing. I mean, I think that's probably one of the reasons why you're seeing this uptick in people enrolling. Like you're saying, I mean, why would I go spend 40 grand at a private university? I'm going to stay here in the desert. I don't need to go pay all those fees. I can get what I need to get done with you guys. And it's great teaching. It's great resources. It's very commendable to see what you guys have built. And then, you know, my own kids have looked at it and talked about it, because it's just such a great resource right here in the Valley. But yeah, I can't imagine just the challenges and conversations that you guys have tried to trying to figure out what to do in light of all of this just suddenly dumped on everybody of, like, flip the light switch. Now you got to completely change how you do business. That's rough.
It is, but I think we're up to the challenge. You know, we're in kind of a unique situation, I think. You know, I do think that we're going to see a shift towards more use of technology and more distance learning into the future. At the same time, there's so much value in a faculty being able to work face-to-face and directly with a student and to be able to get those skills. And, you know, our students We're a lot different than a four-year university in that we're really here for the community. And so many of our programs focus on job skills. So we have a lot of people that drop in because they need to upgrade their skills. So they'll take a class or two and it allows them to get to that next level in their job. And so they drop, you know, they kind of come in and then they pop out. And when they need another upgrade, they come back in again. So we have some of that. You know, along with students who are looking to transfer for a four-year university and be able to get a traditional degree. But we provide an exceptional value. You know, I always tell people there's kind of a mindset with community colleges that it's kind of a last chance you or something like that. Or, you know, it's where you go if you can't get accepted to the college you want to go, your grades aren't that great, or you can't afford it. And it's viewed as something of a compromise. It's like, well, you know, obviously I'd go to a four-year if I could afford it. And not so much. I see community colleges as an opportunity more than a compromise because, you know, both of my oldest kids, I have three kids and one's still in high school and he's planning on going to COD, but both of my older two went through COD. One transferred to Cal State Fullerton and the other is transferred and is enrolled at UC Irvine right now. And we saw that very much as an advantage because it allowed them to ease into college at a very low expense and then to be able to transfer on and be successful in their educational careers. And so the advantage was they got great instructions, they got great grounding, they didn't have the shock of having to learn how to be completely independent at the same time, just walking out of high school. They saved a bundle of money, you know, because I estimate with both of our kids that we probably saved at least $30,000 a year. So between the two of them, that's $120,000 in savings. And it's not, and statistically, community college students that transfer into a four-year university often are more successful in meeting their four-year goals than a student who started at a four-year, simply because they're able to transition a little bit easier and a little bit better.
Yeah, I wish that I had access to a strong community college program. I mean, knowing what you guys do here in the Valley, I really envy those that have been able to do it. I mean, I read an article the other day, and I may have the numbers wrong, but it was something like 40 to 50%. I think it was millennials and Gen Xers through that age group regretted their four-year college degree, primarily because of the cost of it, and then obviously because of the job prospects, whatever degree they got. If it was specifically like in the humanities, I think the STEM degrees were more lucrative in terms of placement and jobs and stuff. But, you know, those of us who went out and got liberal arts, music and theater and all those kinds of, there's just no work, especially post-recession. So there was a lot of regret out there of like, I've got these $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 worth of student loans and no job to really pay for it. What was the point? And like what you're pointing to is, you know, getting a community college degree, having access, I think, man, I could have had that year transition. I could have taken some time to figure some things out, figure out what I wanted to do. I changed my degree two or three different times in the beginning of my college experience. So, yeah, it's like, oh, I wish I'd had that, but.
Well, that is one of the other advantages is that right now our college isn't participating in the federal student loan program. So we, you know, we're graduating. In fact, this year we'll be graduating the largest graduating class in our history. I don't remember what the number is, but it's well over 1,000 students. And they will walk out of here completely debt-free. And that's, you know, I've seen students get into $40,000 in debt in just their freshman year.
Yeah.
And so that value, not just now, but going into the future of being unburdened from that debt. But you're absolutely right. There is a trend where people are questioning the value of a traditional four-year degree. And we saw a shakeout of even career technical education colleges recently, where there were some predatory practices where colleges would get you in an IT program or some kind of program with a lot of promises and use up all your financial aid and you'd be $100,000 in this program and to turn around and get a job that pays $25,000 or $30,000 a year. So the numbers just didn't pan out. So a lot of people are really questioning it. And so there's a lot of shakeup in this time. It's a turbulent time, but it's also a time of innovation. There's a lot of new things coming on that are looking to be able to provide new ways of adding value to students. Things like one of the new things coming along is called competency-based education. There are some universities around the nation that have had some good luck with that, is particularly in the medical school side, where students' education is based on their mastery of the knowledge, not the seat time. So they can move along as soon as they master the, it's more of an individualized learning. And as they move along, they're able to go to the next level because they proved their competency. It's not a matter of how many hours did they sit in the classroom, and regardless of whether they learned it or not. So it's kind of an exciting new trend, and it promises to be a lot more efficient because students are finishing as much as, you know, taking half the time off of their education. So it's much quicker. Students can save money because they're not paying tuition. So we're starting to see some of these trends in the upper division areas, and I think that that's going to trickle down to us eventually, some of these innovations that are coming along. And in the meantime, our focus is making sure that students aren't just able to enroll, but that they're actually able to get in, get completed, and get out, and get on with their lives as quickly as possible. And we've been really excelling in that area.
Yeah, I saw something, I think it was written this morning, they were talking about some of the new things they were encouraging schools to start thinking about, which were, you know, providing advisors and almost sort of transition advisors from, you know, school to workplaces, kind of for life, but it's almost like having a guidance counselor that you can reach out to throughout your career, and you could kind of be connected. Say you go to Harvard, wherever it is, you've got that person you can reach out to for years after you've left, and they can help you with maybe resume design and building and looking for work and that kind of thing. And it's one of these programs that they're saying, you know, like colleges need to be investing in people longer than just the little 4-year period that we have them here. It's like, you know, to incentivize students to want to come be a part of that school, it's like, hey, we're going to be with you for the next 10 years or whatever that might be, to really help you get into the job market and find work, and trying to innovate and find new ways to sell their quote unquote services of what they provide from an education standpoint, beyond just like, you know, we are the premier place for you, come get with us and we guarantee you'll get a job. That's just not the world we live in anymore. So schools are going to have to find new ways to say to students, like, this is worth your time and money, because here's why: we're going to help you with this and this and this and this. I commend you guys. It's a remarkable school and program, and what you've had to try to do in such a short amount of time. Have you heard anything in terms of, I know you've decided, the school has decided to stay on the online through summer and fall, but has the governor given any indication that things may open up where you can come back to class or any of that yet?
Well, I think our biggest concern right now is we don't want to put students at risk and open too early. So, you know, because we have a high concentration of people who cross paths with a lot of different people. And, you know, as difficult as the economic situation is, you know, we want to make sure that we can run things safely, and we're looking at ways to do that and what that's going to mean. But at this point, there's no standards. There's no standard as to what something that's being sanitized, what does that really mean? There haven't been standards set. There's a lot of different ideas. So we don't want to rush into things and spend a lot of time and money on things that are either ineffective or those sort of things. So we're going to be following the guidelines from the health department. And, you know, that's both locally and at the state level. We're going to be watching it very carefully, but we're not going to be rushing to get to be the first ones back in, simply because we want to make sure that it's safe when we do it. And in the meantime, we just really want to focus on delivering a high quality program regardless of what the situation is.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to walk through and explain everything. And it's like I said a minute ago, I mean, it's a fantastic school, and I look forward to when all this is over. I'll be the one hosting, having you over, and we'll enjoy some cigars together. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. Thanks, John.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
You and your cigars. I knew you'd throw that in at some point.
I do enjoy a good cigar, and John is fun to hang out with and talk to. And
he's a very cool guy. I can't even imagine. He's the perfect vice president because he just handles everything with such grace and he's not easily ruffled. And just, I can't imagine what they're having to manage. It just hurts my head thinking about it.
Yeah, I remember when everything was happening back in the beginning of the quarantine when the governor was getting ready to do this shutdown and we were all kind of on pins and needles waiting. And John and I were having conversations about the steps that they were taking at the school, beefing up security, trying to cut back on some of the classes and keeping kids off the campus. And everybody was sort of like, what do we do next? It was really tricky. And, you know, for me, I was dealing with film world, you were dealing with all the real estate changes, and then, you know, John's perspective with the education thing. I've been really curious to pick up and talk to him because it's been, you know, 8-9 weeks now. Had really no idea what was going on outside of just articles I read and news reports. So it's nice to get a firsthand account and kind of hear how they're handling everything. And it's just as complicated and messy as everybody else. but yeah, it's, you know, I'm kind of in a weird place right now too with the whole thing because I'm so weary of talking about the quarantine, but it is such a dominant feature in our lives. It's really hard to not talk about it. I was listening to Conan O'Brien say the other day, he was being interviewed by Andy Richter, and he had made the comment. He's like, you know, I really, on these podcasts and the shows that they're doing, he's like, I hate even talking about it because I want my content to be sort of evergreen and be worthwhile to listen to a year or two from now. But how do you not talk about the quarantine right now, which I sort of feel like is the dilemma that I'm feeling even with the show. I don't really want to talk about it.
Right.
But you can't not talk about it.
It's affecting everybody.
It's everything. Yeah.
You know, on the globe, this virus has affected everybody in all walks of life, no matter who you are, where you're at. And even in my industry with real estate, it seems like every day there's a new contract that the attorneys have created for this virus. We have to, I mean, there's new versions of the same contract over and over. We have to have people sign contracts before they go into a house saying that they aren't symptomatic and they won't sue the homeowner if they catch the virus in the house, which how could you prove that anyway? I mean, just crazy things like that. And whereas before you could get in a car and go look at a vacant home pretty quickly or add a home to the home tour that you're on at the last minute, that's not easy because now you have to have this document signed by everyone going to enter the home and then send it over to the other agent. And the agent has to have the homeowner and seller sign it saying that you can enter the home. And it becomes a big headache. And that's just one little aspect of how it's changed. One little part of my industry, I know it's changed a lot in your work as well.
Yeah, it's been tricky and it's continued to be tricky. I was just chatting with a friend of mine who's a production manager the other day asking about some of the different changes that are happening on sets and things and where we're all just trying to figure out day to day how this is all going to work. So it's crazy.
Because if you've ever been on a set, it's crazy anyway. I don't know how they're going to try to figure all their new guidelines and rules out. But this podcast is a lot of fun for us because we're able to put a spotlight on different people in our community and different areas. And we really were excited to do a lot of lifestyle things and restaurants and touristy information, which hasn't been easy with the time of this pandemic that we're in. So we shifted a little, but we want to continue to bring you interesting information, interesting people, highlight different people in the community, different communities. So I'm looking forward to some future episodes with some great guests. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next time.